ये अनिल प्रेमदाना करुणा प्राचो न प्रभु कोता गेला छय चाको कहा मरा स्वरूप पान सनाथ कह दस रघुनता पति च मोरा बता जुग कह खेरा खोता गेला गौरा नाचरा शिव मत अनाले पशिव गोरंदा गुणरानिधि खोत गेल पाव सबा संगे रह संगे जे कोलो बेरा से संगा ना पाया खंडे नारो चामदा जय वैष्णव ठाकुर जय वैष्णव ठाकुर जय वैष्णव ठाकुर जय प्रभुपादा जय प्रभुपादा जय प्रभुपादा जय प्रभुपादा प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत श्री गदाधर श्री वासुदेव गौर भक्ति वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर गोपाल गोपीनाथ श्याम सुंदर भगवताम की जय श्री नरोत्तम दास को महासाय की जय गौर भीमनंदी ऑल ग्लोरी टू द समर्थ ऑल ग्लोरी टू द समर्थ ऑल ग्लोरी टू द लॉर्ड श्री कृष्ण श्री गुरु गौरंगा
Mm-hmm.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I was so excited about speaking on Narottam Das Thakur today, I completely forgot that I have to speak on a Bhagavatam verse too. Right, okay, she said, so what, you're going to speak on verse? And I said, oh, I got to talk about the Bhagavatam too? So I'm going to read through the verse very quickly here. Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 17, text number 9, translation. O son of Sarabi, you need lament no longer now. There is no need to fear this low-class sudra. And, O mother cow, as long as I am living as the ruler and subduer of all envious men, there is no cause for you to cry. Everything will be good for you. Such a benediction. Protection of bulls and cows and all other animals can be possible only when there is a state ruled by an executive head like Maharaj Parikrit. Maharaj Parikrit addressed the cow as mother, for he is a cultured, twice-born Kshatriya king. Sarabi is the name of the cows, which exist in the spiritual planets and are especially reared by Lord Sri Krishna himself. As men are made after the form and features of the Supreme Lord, so also the cows are made after the form and features of the Sarabi cows in the spiritual kingdom. In the material world, the human society gives all protection to the human being. But there is no law to protect the descendants of Sarabi, who can give all protection to men by supplying the miracle food, milk. But Maharaj Parikrit and the Pandavas were fully conscious of the importance of the cow and the bull, and they were prepared to punish the cow killer with all chastisement, including death. There has sometimes been agitation for the protection of cows, but for want of pious executive heads and suitable laws, the cows and bulls are not given protection. The human society should recognize the importance of the cow and the bull and thus give all protection to these important animals following in the footsteps of Maharaj Parikrit. For protecting the cows and Brahminical culture, the Lord, who is very kind to the cows and the Brahmanas, Gobrahmana Hitaya Cha, will be pleased with us and will bestow upon us real peace. Om Agyanatimaram Dasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmanitam Yinatasmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Lam Jayate Girin Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dini Tarana Vanchakapatudubhyastra Kripa Sindhu Baheva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sikararha Shivasiti Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune, and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse should be given, spoken on by Adi Karta Prabhu. This is like right down his alley. But factually speaking, Prabhupada is speaking in this purport about the dire state of affairs of our modern world. The fact that we have such executive leaders, rulers, presidents, prime ministers, whatever their position is, that openly partake in the function of cow slaughter is just, you know, completely symptomatic of the age of Kali. This is such a wonderful verse here. It's a proclamation. It's a proclamation by a king. You need not fear anymore. There is even this low-class person, you don't need to fear them. You know, when I lived in New York for many years, there were certain neighborhoods, at least back when I lived in New York, Alphabet City for one, you didn't go there. I used to drive taxi, and if somebody told me they were going to an address in Alphabet City, I dropped them at 14th Street and said, you can walk the rest of the way. You just didn't go to Alphabet City unless you wanted something to happen. Now, of course, there's Mercedes and Audis and BMWs parked all up and down. It's all gentrified, whatever. But there was some fear. You know, the police didn't want to go there. So here, Maharaj Parikrit's making a proclamation. Even such fear that is rightfully earned, you don't have to worry about it anymore because I will protect you. I will kill these people. And so this type of protection is what every citizen looks for. But Prabhupada makes the point here that, you know, every citizen includes the cows. How does he say it here? The cows, the bulls, and all other kinds of animals. All other kinds of animals. We see, some of us have the misfortune of working with people that slaughter and eat all other kinds of animals. And we'll leave it at that. As Prabhupada said in the last verse I spoke on, things we will not even mention in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So those of us that are of a saintly position, we have the opportunity to purify our lives from this wretched past that we had and take up the process of Krishna consciousness as enunciated for us by our dear Acharya Srila Narottam Das Thakur Mahasaya. To second the point Mukhi made earlier, if you do not own Sipala's book, The Life of Narottam Das Thakur, 75% of your life has been wasted. Rush out today and get a copy. It is the most amazing presentation on the life of Narottam. You know, my mother, as she gets a little older, quite older, when you speak with her, she repeats herself quite a bit. And of course, you don't say anything, you know. It's not something that's brought up, it's just accepted. As you get older, you tend to repeat yourself a lot. But what do we do every year except repeat the same pastimes of the Lord, the same pastimes of his devotees? And as Prabhupada said, they don't become hackneyed and dry. Because we relish these pastimes. We relish the opportunity to talk about our acharyas. By speaking about the acharyas, by speaking of their message, we actually repay that debt we have. We have credit card debt, we have student loan debt, we have mortgage debt, we have so much debt. But this is the real debt that we have. This debt has to be repaid with the human form of life by sharing the pastimes of the Supreme Person of Godhead and his associates. And these pastimes are ever fresh. We should become very joyful hearing them. So I had the good fortune yesterday to speak at the Krishna House on Narottam Das Thakur, and we spoke up to the point of the Khetri Festival, included the Khetri Festival. And so I thought that today we would take up after the Khetri Festival and some of the preaching events of Narottam Das Thakur. Many, many classes can and have been given. And I will shamelessly say, if you want to hear about those many, many classes, you can go to my YouTube site. I have about 9 or 10 classes on Narottam. There I said it. But the pastimes that we usually focus on are his early childhood pastimes, his going to Vrindavan, his initiation, by looking up like that, the Khetri Festival. There's not a lot of time spent in the later portion of his life, primarily because our classes are usually about an hour. And by the time you cover those beginning things, you've covered the hour. So we're going to start a little later on in there today. We know that Narottam's dearest friend and closest associate, bosom buddy as my friend would say, was Ramchandra Kaviraj. Ramchandra Kaviraj was actually the disciple of Srinivasacharya, and Srinivasacharya placed Ramchandra Kaviraj in the care an association of Narottam, and the two of them quickly became co-preachers. They would travel together, they would preach together, they would initiate together. Even though there was technically a hierarchy of senior and junior, there was no consideration of this in their activities. They initiated wide and far. They traveled wide and far. They spoke wide and far. This was their relationship, their friendship. So, you know, of course, also, they were both not from very elevated backgrounds. You know, from a material point of view, their birth was of a lower caste. And the, you know, the Brahmins in and around Khatori, they were very envious of this. You know, they're very body conscious, very caste conscious. And they simply couldn't tolerate this wide preaching in the mood of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu never placed any restrictions upon who could take up Krishna consciousness, upon who could be engaged in devotional service, upon who could bring engaging others in devotional service. But these personalities who are very much in the bodily concept of life, totally wrapped up in jnana karma and karma kanda, they're very, very much affected like this. So, interesting story. One day, Narottam and Ramchandra Kaviraj, which were approached by one of the senior Brahmins, He's very, very powerful in this movement of Smarta Brahmins, as they call him. And he came to Narottam, offered his full obeisances, gave him confession. You know, this is something we're familiar with in our Christian tradition. You do all nonsense, as Prabhupada says, all week, and you go in on Sunday and say to the priest, "Oh, Father, forgive me. I did everything I did again last week and the week before." The priest says, "Yeah, say this, okay, you're forgiven. Okay, I get to go back to Jesus." Doesn't work that way. At any rate, so the Brahmin said, he said, "I was very, very opposed to your preaching. I saw you simply as a low-class kayasta. And I couldn't tolerate that you were speaking spiritual knowledge and initiating and spreading like this. And so I was publicly denouncing you in all of my lectures and all of my gatherings." And there's Narottam, here's Aina, here, who comes from him? Going on and on like that. He said, "One night, I had a dream. And Durga, my Ishtadevi, she came to me in a dream with her chopper ready in hand. And she threatened me. She said, 'You are so offensive. You are so disrespectful to Narottam. Because of all your offenses, you will contract leprosy.' And when I woke up in the morning, I looked in the mirror and I saw that I had leprosy. And everyone, they banished me. And no one would associate with me. And I had no venue for speaking and criticizing. And I realized my offense. So I've come to you, O Narottam. I beg your forgiveness." And he placed himself on the ground, full dandavats at the lotus feet of Narottam. And Narottam lifted his foot and placed it upon his head. And as he placed it upon his head, he said, "Now rise and dance the Sri Hari Nam." And he indicated to Ramchandra Kaviraj, Kirtan was begun. And the Brahmin stood and raised his hand into the air, "Gaura Hari, Gaura Hari, Gaura Hari," began to chant and dance. And with each step of his dancing, the leprosy on his body disappeared more and more and more until it was completely gone. At this point, he again offered obeisances and became the disciple of Narottam Das Thakur. So this was the impact of the preaching of Narottam Das Thakur. This was the influence, and this was the reputation that was being gained. If someone opposed him, certainly they would not fare very well. Narottam was the intimate associate of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu predicted Narottam's appearance. Mahaprabhu gave his blessings. Mahaprabhu personally gave love of God through the medium of Mother Padmavati to Narottam. So how dear is Narottam to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? One day, another time, Narottam and Ramchandra Kaviraj were walking along the banks of the Ganga, and they saw that there were two young boys, and they were herding a large number of goats and sheep, very, very first-class goats and sheep. Ramchandra Kaviraj made note, these were very, very expensive goats and sheep. Now it was the time of year for the Durga Puja, and all of said goats and sheep are sacrificed and slaughtered, supposedly for the benefit of Durga. This is what goes on. So, at any rate, Narottam turned to Ramchandra and said, "Let's have some fun." The acharyas, they like to enjoy themselves. Don't be thinking, "Oh, they're all very dry philosophical people." No, they like to have some fun. "Let's have some fun," he said to Ramchandra. So they walked just a little ahead of the boys and then began to speak loud enough that the boys could hear. "You know, some people, they think that the worship of Mother Devi is the supreme worship." Ramchandra Kaviraj said, "Oh, really?" "Yes, yes." Ramchandra said, "Well, what do they do?" "Oh, they collect so many different types of animals, particularly goats and sheep, and then they slaughter them." They did not know that the responsibility, that the karma, for, and on like this, the conversation. You know the course of the conversation. You know the story. You know the philosophy. And so, speaking like this, attentively, and the two boys are listening. They can't help but listen. And as the conversation between Narottam and Ramchandra goes on, they're listening more and more intently, very focused on the words of Narottam. And in short order, they became convinced of what Narottam Ramchandra Kaviraj was saying. Oh, this is very horrible what we're doing. So the boy stopped and said, excuse me, sadhus. Narottam winked at Ramchandra Kaviraj in turn and said, yes. He said, we were listening to what you said. Is that all very true? Narottam said, yes. What are your names? The one boy said, my name is Hari Ram. The other boy said, my name is Ram Krishna. We are sons of Shivaji Acharya. Now, Shivaji Acharya was very, very well known. Big, big Durga worshipper. He was the head of the Shakti community. And generationally, his whole family had been big worshippers of Shakti Devi. So this was the family line. So the sons were following in this. They said in our time, we're bringing these animals to our father for the worship of Durga Puja, which starts in just a few days. But now, hearing from you, we understand how sinful this is. And we want to let these animals all go. Ramchandra said, are you sure? Your father will not be very happy. No, but this is the right thing to do. Narottam said, all right, go ahead. So the boys took all the ropes off, all the... I've seen this when you do Govardhan circumambulation, you know, all the animals have some rope around their neck, different colors. The different colors indicate who they belong to. You know, it's not just some random rope, you know, there's a system to it. At any rate, they took all the ropes. All right, go. And the, you know, goats and the sheep, they're like very happy. Okay, great. All took off. And so then they said, now we want to come and stay in your ashram and learn from you. So the boys did just that. Narottam and Ramchandra Kaviraj brought them back to the ashram, introduced them to the other devotees, the other followers. And they stayed there for 3 or 5 days, something like that. Learning to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, learning the philosophy. And in short order, they were given initiation. Narottam initiated Ram Krishna. Ramchandra Kaviraj initiated Hari Ram. They stayed for a few more days. And then it was decided that we should go back to our father now. Narottam gave his blessings and said yes. So they went back to their father's ashram, to their home. And on the way there, they met a devotee named Balaram, who was the chief physician for Shivaji Acharya. And he says, boys, where have you been? Your father has been going completely mad, looking for you, wondering what has happened to you, and all of the goats and sheep. And they said, oh, we've been with Narottam. With Narottam? What were you doing with Narottam? And they began to preach to him. And in the conclusion of that walk, in the matter of 45 minutes, they completely convinced him of the process of devotional service under the tutelage of Narottam. So when they were brought before their father was just in an absolute rage. He had Vaishnava tilak on, he had Kanti mala on, he had pavitra, he had proper, you know, he couldn't understand this. And not just tilak, you know, all the 12 places, Sika, everything, you know. So he was screaming at them. He was so upset with them. What are you boys doing? You're insulting your family lineage. We have all for generations followed the path of Shakti. This is superior to the path of Vaishnavas. You're associated with these Vaishnavas and learning these false truths. Durga is supreme. Such things. And by the way, where are all the goats and the sheep? Oh, we didn't bring them. Well, I guess you took all the money and gave it to your Vaishnava friends? A familiar refrain some of us may have heard as we joined Krishna consciousness, which was the case many times. How dare you speak this way in front of me? I will bring you before all the Brahmins in our court and you can talk with them. They will convince you of your missteps. They will bring you back to the path of our family. So Hari Ram said, yes, call for such an assembly, we'll be very happy. So the assembly was called, All the Brahmins, they came forward, they were all seated very nicely. Hari Ram and Ram Krishna were escorted in. The senior pundit, he said, "Boys," he said, "your father is concerned that maybe your association has given you some wrong ideas. We would like to give you some guidance, a little bit of information." Hari Ram and Hari Krishna and humble Vaishnava, "Yes, that's very nice, thank you. We're very happy to hear from you." So the scholars began to speak, presenting all of the points of the Shakti path, one after the other. All of the imperfect ideas from the perspective of Vaishnava theology. Speaking like this, going on. And then when they all finished, the senior scholar turned to Hari Ram and said, "You have something to say?" "If I may, I could say a couple of things." The floodgates open. The pure philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the devotional path of bhakti, was completely driven home by these two young boys. One point after the next, not being the body, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the sole goal in life, that the path of bhakti is the way to approach him, that the chanting of the holy names of the Lord is there, that it doesn't matter what caste or creed one comes from, anyone can take up the path of devotional service, that one is a spiritual master regardless of their background, as long as they can give the science of Krishna bhakti, on and on and on and on and on, with great enthusiasm and strong conviction. And the pundits were flabbergasted. They couldn't say anything. They had no rebuttal. The senior most pundit turned to Shivji Acharya and said, "No one can defeat these boys in their Vaishnava philosophy. This is not possible." Shivji was not satisfied with that. "You simply don't know how to do anything. Bring me the Vijay." So another level, same thing took place. Divijay was brought in. His name was Murari. He was from Mathila. He came in very proud. You know, Digvijay means proud. Just think of it. Digvijay means I go everywhere and proclaim, "Ha ha, I have defeated everyone. You want to debate me? Let's do it." And a little arrogance has to be there to be a Digvijay. You know, "See all of my papers? I defeated him and him and him and him and him. You want your name on the list?" So Digvijay, he came and sat down, and the boys defeated him so badly, how shall we say, that he soiled himself. You can understand. He was so embarrassed. I mean, it's bad enough you're defeated and you're the big Digvijay. Then you're defeated by two young boys. And then you're defeated so badly that, well, now you got to go change. So he bowed his head in shame and in great defeat, left. Shivji was completely frustrated. His dear sons had taken up the wrong path. They had completely been misguided, but none of his scholars could save them. What to do? What to do? So that night, he had a dream. Actually, dreams are pretty influential in the lives of our Vaishnava Acharyas. If you read any of the biographies of any Acharya, there's a lot of dreams, particularly in Narottam's. There are so many dreams. Narottam had so many dreams that the Lord appeared. And at any rate, Durga appeared directly to Shivji Acharya. "You think you are my devotee? I will chop off your head if you continue with your offenses." And in the same manner, speaking. "Now, if you want my suggestion, you will go and surrender to Narottam." So he woke the next day, followed the footsteps of his sons. So in this way, the reputation of Narottam's elegant but forceful preaching was becoming very wide known. Narottam's influence throughout all the area, his prominence, his expertise, and his genuine compassion and love for the fallen conditioned souls was manifest. And everyone was surrendering to him. Now, at Gambhila, on the banks of the Ganga, there was a very high-class Brahmin named Ganganarayan Chakravarti. And Ganganarayan Chakravarti was very, very respected. He was a senior Brahmin in the community. And he used to commonly see Hari Ram and Krishna, Ram Krishna herding the cows and going here and there. And then he hadn't seen them for so many days. He wondered what was going on. And then he heard from associates and other people in the villages how they had surrendered to Narottam Das Thakur. He found this very peculiar. They came from a very reputable family, and all access to, you know. And then how they had defeated all the court pundits. He was a little intrigued by this because he was a very learned Brahmin. And then how they had defeated the Digvijay even, to the Digvijay's great shame. He kind of chuckled at this because he always thought the Digvijay was a little arrogant anyway. Oh. But then he became very astonished at this because he began to think that Narottam himself, he turned these goat cowherd men into great saints, to saintly young boys. That night he had a realization. And in that realization, he realized that he had wasted his life in the pursuit of jnana karma and in the pursuit of impersonal philosophy. He began to lament. And in that lamentation, he fell asleep. And he had a dream. And Narottam appeared to him in that dream. Narottam assured him, "Tomorrow I will meet you on the banks of the Ganga River. You do not need to worry." So he awoke from that dream, from that despair, that condition of despair and being distraught, and felt some hope. So the next day, he arrived on the bank of the river, and there he saw Hari Ram and Ram Krishna. They were sitting chanting japa very nicely. And he approached him humbly, excuse me. Said, "Where can I find your guru?" "Oh, he is at the ashram." And then he said the most amazing thing. He said, "Do you think that he would accept a fool like myself? Such a proud Brahmin, but he had humility at his command. He knew how to approach. Do you think that Gurudev will accept such a fool as myself?" Hari Ram said, "Well, why don't you ask him? There he is coming, just down the path." So he looked up and he saw that there was Narottam with, of course, Ramchandra Kaviraj, his eternal associate, right there at his side. And he quickly made his way to them and offered his obeisances at their lotus feet. And he begged, "Please, please, deliver me from this hellish condition of life. Let me become your disciple. Train me in the path of bhakti." Narottam actually reached down and picked him up and embraced him. After he embraced him, he separated and he looked at him very sincerely and said, "If you join our camp, what will all of your Brahmin associates think of you? They will criticize you. You will lose your standing." Ganganarayan Chakravarti bowed his head, folded his hands, and said, "I do not care for any of these things. I don't have any concern for these things. I simply want to be delivered to your lotus feet." So Narottam said to him, he said, "All right, don't go back home tonight. Spend the night at Govinda Chakravarti's house. And tomorrow, come with him to Khetri." So Ganganarayan Chakravarti did as he was instructed. The next day he rose, bathed, dressed himself nicely, and went to the ashram of Narottam Das Thakur at Khetri. And there he was initiated by Narottam into the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy of Rupa Goswami, into the science of the Harinam, into the importance of Krishna consciousness. So, because of his influence, of course, other Brahmins came and they also surrendered to Narottam. Ganganarayan Chakravarti has taken Narottam as guru. This must be a very important sign, so let us go also and surrender. So, one such Brahmin, his name was Jagannathacharya. He's also a very prominent Brahmin. We can see the influence of Narottam in this community. That one after the next, leaders were surrendering and accepting the path of bhakti under his guidance. So this was becoming a concern to the envious smarta brahmanas. So they had a meeting. Now the leader of this community was Rupa Narayan. So they elected Rupa Narayan as their representative, and they sent a group, they sent a collective to the king. The king was Raj Narasimha. Raj Narasimha, you'd think he'd be a Vaishnava with a name like that. So the king was Raj Narasimha. And they complained to him, "You're the king. You're responsible for upholding the religious principles of everything in your community, in your kingdom. According to our literatures, Brahmins are worshipable and Brahmins must be worshipped. Brahmins cannot come from a lower class. They cannot be from Kayasta and Sudra communities. But now, senior Brahmins in the community are surrendering themselves to these low caste persons, such as Narottam and his associates. If this continues, you mark our word. Our culture will be finished. It will be your responsibility. It will be on your head." King took this a bit serious. He said, "Well, if you're so confident of your position, why don't you debate with Narottam? Call an assembly, apprise him of these wrongs, as you say, hold the debate, and then if you're correct, you'll win, and then he'll have to surrender. Prove him wrong." So it was decided. All right. Now, word of this imposing debate reached the ears of Narottam. The king, Rupa Narayan, all the brahmanas, they began their procession to Khetri. When Narottam heard that this was about to happen, again, he smiled. He said, "Oh, we're going to have a good debate." Ananda. Devotional service is Ananda. It's joyful. And Narottam was always joyful in his execution of his service. So he was looking forward to this debate. All right, good, good. Bring them on. We can speak about Lord Chaitanya. We can speak about the path of bhakti. Yes, this will be fun. What do you think, boys? Yeah, all right, let's do it. So it was all like that. They were anticipating. The duty of the disciple is to prevent any disturbance from reaching the spiritual master. There's that famous story when Prabhupada was on the train and Harisari and one or two others were there serving him, and he was in that compartment. And the circumstance, of course, at the time is if you could catch someone's eye, then, oh, okay, now you have to be led in and speak to them. So the disciples were trying their best to stop these people that were walking by from catching Prabhupada's eye, but two gentlemen were successful and they called, "Oh, all right, so let them come in, you know." But that's a whole other story. But at any rate, so they were trying to protect Prabhupada from the disturbance. So Ramchandra Kaviraj and Ganganaran Chakravarti thought, "No, this is so unnecessary. Narottam has to deal with this. Just a waste of his time. We don't want him to have to go through all this debating with these nonsense rascals and wasting his time. He could be doing so many other things." So they hatched this plan. We all know this plan. We've all heard the story. I've told it 100 times. I just love telling it. So they took off their proper Brahmin dress and they dressed themselves in the manner of simple shopkeepers. I wonder if they had those sleeveless t-shirts back then. You know? You see all the shopkeepers wear them. Matter of fact, I have one on right now. You see everybody wears those, you know, with a little colored lungi and an odd turban on their head, you know. Maybe they're chewing some betel and spitting somewhere, you know, whatever. So at any rate, they dressed themselves up like that. And they went to the edge of the market. There was a market just outside of village of Kathuri. And so on opposite sides of the street, they set up shop. Ganga Narayan set up a shop selling clay pots. Now, you can't just take one or two clay pots. You've got to do the whole thing. You know, he's trying to make a statement here. So he gets a little potter wheel, some lumps of clay, and a few stacks of different size and different types of pots, and puts them on a shelf and like that. Okay, maybe not the biggest store, but all right, he's clearly selling clay pots. Across the street, Chandra Kaviraj set himself up as a panwala. Panwala means not only just selling betel, but you got to have the leaves and the stuff for slapping it on, and the little containers and the little pins for sticking through the pan, and, you know, a piece of cloth laid out there that really looks like you don't want anything that's been on top of that. But, you know, that kind of thing. So they have all this set up there, you know. So the next morning, after reaching the outskirts of Kathuri the night before, the king and his entourage, they all set up camp. So the Brahmins rise early, and they go into town to procure some articles for their morning seva, for their meals, like that, you know. So they come across these two gentlemen, these two shopkeepers, and they said to them, what is the price of your pawn? And he's addressing Ramchandra Kaviraj. And Ramchandra Kaviraj answered them in perfect Sanskrit. Now, this is Bengal. The common language is Bengal, Bengali. Everybody speaks it. Very few people know Sanskrit. Only the highly elevated Brahmins know Sanskrit. So, whatever the phrase is, I wish I knew a phrase or two to add to the story. But at any rate, Ramchandra Kaviraj answered in perfect Sanskrit. Brahmins were a little surprised. Oh, you know Sanskrit? Yes. How is that possible? Well, I'm a disciple of Narottama. Really? So they began to discuss, well, what about, you know, this philosophy and that philosophy? And Ramchandra, of course, defeated him soundly. A little bit of a hubbub, you might say, in modern terminology. So Ganga Narayan from across the street, in perfect Sanskrit, I'll paraphrase here, "Hey, Ram Baba, what's going on over there?" And the Brahmins turn around, and they go over to Ganga Narayan. "You know Sanskrit also? You're a disciple of Narottama?" "Oh, yes, all Narottama's disciples know Sanskrit." Yes. "And you also?" And so the debate goes on, bum, 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 you know. And just in the mere casual circumstance of buying some morning breakfast, the Brahmins are thoroughly defeated. So they talk amongst themselves, and say, "We got a problem here." So they go back to the camp, and they mention to Rupa Narayan, "Yeah, this is an issue. We just got defeated." "Oh, you met Narottama?" "No." "Oh, you met some of his senior disciples?" "No." "Well, who'd you meet?" "A pond wall and a clay pot seller." So then Rupa Narayan said, "Oh, this is an issue." So then they went to the king. "We have to call this off." The king said, "Wait a minute. I gave up the royal palace. I packed everything under the back of a bullock. We came all the way out here. I set up tent. We stayed out all overnight. And you want to cancel it?" I said, "No, we're going through with this." So they came into Kathuri, of course, and they approached the assembly. You know, a mandap had been set up for the debate. And I think we all know how the story ends. Narottama, Ramchandra Kaviraj, and the associates, they defeated them thoroughly. And so the pundits discussed amongst themselves, "What should we do? What should we do? We can't surrender." You know, so they went back to their camp after the day's debate. This was supposed to be a three-day mahotsav, three-day festival of debate. So that night, what happens at night? That night they had a dream. And Durga appeared in the dream again. Durga really liked Narottama, I think. She appeared in the dream again. And she said to all of them, separately, each in their own dreams, "If you do not surrender to Narottama, you will die." So all the pundits woke the next morning. "You know what I dreamed last night? Was it the same thing I dreamed? You had that dream too? And they all realized they'd all had the same dream, and they went to the king, and they said, you know, we have to surrender. Now the king and Rupa Narayan had already decided this was the course of action that was necessary. But how were they going to say to the Brahmins? So when the Brahmins all came and said, we need to surrender to Narottam, well, okay, if that's what you think. So it was decided they would all go. And they got off their palanquin, took off their shoes, and in bare feet approached Narottam, Ramchandra Kaviraj, offered obeisances and surrendered to them right there on the spot. They became his initiated disciples. The king had a wife, of course. Her name was Rupamali. And when the king shared the glories of Narottam Das Thakur with his wife Rupamali, she also surrendered and became a disciple of Narottam. It's said that she used to chant 1 lakh of rounds a day. It's a lot of japa. What's that, 198? No, 100. How much is that, Mahavati?
1 lakh is 64.
There we go, there we go. A lot of japa, more than we're chanting. So at any rate, this was the kind of influence that Narottam was having. Oh boy, do we? Yes. There's about 13 or 14 more pages of stories about Narottam's preaching. I don't know where to go with all of this. During that time, of course, there were many dacoits. And the head of these dacoits was Ramchandra Roy, Harichandra Roy. And he had been born as a Brahmin, but due to a tendency for illicit activities, he fell down. And when he fell down from that brahminical position, he took up all kinds of additional habits. He became an expert in every type of weapon. What do they call that? MMA, mixed martial arts. So he was expert in every weapon and every type of fighting. And it was said that his heart was as cold as ice, and that it was as hard as steel, and that he had no compassion, no empathy for anyone. That for the slightest amount of profit, he would murder or kill anyone. The list of his atrocities, I mean, I won't even pollute the sacred assembly of Srimad Bhagavatam by reciting it, but it's just, he was known as the dacoit king. And of course he had an army, people that had dedicated themselves to following him. And he would plunder village after village after village. Finally, due to the atrocities against Brahmins, women, children, cows, the most ghastly thing happened to him. A Brahmana ghost entered into his body. And this ghost was just making a play field out of him, just causing so much difficulty. What is the nature of a ghost? Nature of a ghost is that they have so many desires, but no vehicle to fulfill them. And a Brahmin ghost is very, very powerful. So this Brahmin ghost was just torturing Harichandra Roy. Just his life was miserable. I don't know if you've ever associated or known anybody that was haunted. I had a couple of instances of this in my life. And they're just, I mean, oh, wow. So he didn't know what to do. He was just in so much pain and difficulty, and you know, he would just lie on the ground writhing in pain and calling out and just lunacy. And so, you know, his father was an elderly father, and was trying to help him and bring in all kinds of doctors and mystics and exorcists, and they all concluded, this is no ordinary ghost, this is a very powerful Brahmana Rakshasa ghost.
So finally one night he was able to eke out a little bit of sleep. And he had a dream. A voice. And he was instructed, there is only one salvation for you. There is only one cure for your problem. That is to go to Kateri and surrender to Nartam Das Thakur. So he told his father this. Father, I was speaking with a gentleman yesterday, and it was concluded that there is nothing a father will not do to save his children. So the father sent a message to Kateri. But the messenger felt, no, this isn't right. I can't go to a sadhu like Nartam and invite him to come to this man's house. No. So he didn't deliver the message, he burned it. So a second messenger was sent. And he was successful to get to the servants of Nartam. And he read the note from this man to the servants of Nartam. The servants were shocked that such a request would come. This Harichandra Roy? How could they couldn't believe it. But they went to Nartam. They told him. Nartam said to them, so, should I go? You know, sometimes Prabhupada would say like that to the devotees, you know, oh, there's a problem, shall we go? You know? What was that, the Mantra Rock Festival in 1968? The Avalon Ballroom, Grateful Dead, Moby Grape, Janis Joplin, all the big names were there. So, shall we go? Prabhupada went. What do you think Nartam did? Nartam actually, before making his decision, he sat in meditation and prayed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What should I do? Mahaprabhu appeared to Nartam and he told him, yes, you go. I will personally deliver this dacoit through you and prove the power of the holy name. And in doing so, give great faith to the masses. So Nartam said, all right, let's go. So they went and they found this Harichandra Roy just writhing in pain and misery and suffering on the floor. When the father heard Nartam had come, he went on and had a grand reception. He started to, you know, padyam, argyam, you know, madhuparkam, all the... Nartam said, no. I have no time for all this. I have come for special business. Nartam came before the man. He placed his hand on his forehead and he said, in the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I order you to leave this man alone. And the ghost replied, you know, sometimes this happens. The ghost said, due to my despicable karma, I have to live in the body of this horrible king. Even the ghost knew the guy was horrible. But because you have glanced upon me, I am now free, as is he. I simply pray that in the future, when I become free of this ghostly form, that I may take birth in Kateri and eventually take shelter of you. And the ghost left. And Harichandra Roy, the great dacoit king, was himself again. Not exactly himself. He'd been delivered by Nartam. So he surrendered. His father surrendered. They became disciples of Nartam. So this is some of the preaching activity of Nartam Das Thakur, the strength of his preaching, the conviction, the determination that he had in acting on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when there was a question what to do, depending on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and being directly instructed by Mahaprabhu what to do. So on a day such as today, we're very fortunate to be able to meditate Narottam Das Thakur to speak about him. There are so many different platforms out there where you can hear so many lectures about Narottam. You should absorb your day like that. So many pastimes. The pastimes of Narottam can be spoken about for 8 or 9 or 10 classes easily. And this is actually our duty. This is our duty to relish the pastimes of these great acharyas whenever their days come up. This is why it's noted on the calendar. Not just, oh, yeah, okay, great. What else are we doing? What's for lunch? We should focus on these days, regardless of who the acharya is. You know, there are lesser known acharyas. I was fortunate to listen the other day to a class that Sitala gave on Murari Gupta. Such a wonderful. I could listen to Sitala speak about the Vaishnava acharya for hours on end. She's got such insight. So this type of engaging of our senses, engaging of our hearing, engaging of our speaking with each other about the pastimes of our acharyas is what we live for. So thank you very much for this opportunity to speak about Narottam. And we thank Srila Prabhupada for bringing us to this path of devotional service and giving us the understanding of how important these previous Vaishnava saints are. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Oh, there's some question.
Thank you, Prabhu. We hear that at Kateri Festival, Narottam introduced a new type of kirtan. What is that new type? Is what we practice today?
Garnahati kirtan. The installation of the deities in Kateri was a 3-day event. The first day was different festivities. The second day was the actual Abhishek and installation, and this was followed by a late evening kirtan. Now, Narottam had been rehearsing with his boys, Narottam and the band. That's a nice... Anyway, they'd been rehearsing all these different types of kirtan. And Narottam came in one day and said, I've got this new tune. Just follow me here. And they laid down the beats. The Madonga part goes like this. And everybody was amazed. Whoa. In our modern terminology, we might say, we got a hit on our hand, boys. So, at any rate, he was very excited to do this. Now, as the kirtan was beginning, Janava Mata stared at Narottam. And it's described that she imbibed with him the potency for this kirtan. And he started this kirtan. The description of the kirtan is like an elephant moving slowly through honey. You know, an elephant moves rather slow anyway, but now he's in thick honey. It's very sweet, but he's moving very slow. I've never heard it. I would love to hear it. I understand third hand that this style of kirtan has mostly been lost, but that there's one devotee somewhere in the Mayapur area that knows it, but it's not prominent in our modern society. Yeah, Garnahati kirtan. This was special to Narottam. Yeah. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you.